You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428. Welcome back if you've just tuned in. You're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thank you for joining us. I'm talking with Bill Hudnut, who's a senior resident fellow at the Urban Land Institute out of Washington, D.C., also currently the mayor of Chevy Chase, Maryland, which I guess was named after that Saturday Night Live character, Chevy Chase.
I don't think so.
It went the other way around?
No, I don't think so on that either.
He probably took your name from Chevy Chase.
He might have. It's originally from the French.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, it's kind of an odd name for the name of a town. So we've been talking about density and building and planning, and one of the things that Bill mentioned during his he was visiting Santa Barbara recently was that he saw potential for rehab in Santa Barbara, and just you see a lot of old homes, a lot of beautiful old homes.
Well, you do, but the problem in Santa Barbara is that there's no land available for new construction, or very, very little. I went up to the top of the county offices, you know, that beautiful observation tower.
Yeah.
And looked around.
Oh, maybe the courthouse?
Our courthouse, that's
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
And didn't see much, but on the ground, for just to give you one example, in the 200 block of East Figueroa, across from the police station, there are 4 units of rehab going in there.
Right.
And the zoning does not allow residences in industrial land, which I think is a mistake. I think there's some industrial land in Santa Barbara that could be turned into residences. But the problem is that we're going to have a century unfolding here in which rehabbing and remodeling and repositioning and reinvesting and redeveloping is just as important as new construction. The Harvard Joint Center for Housing Studies points out that the National Home Improvement and Repair Bill in 2001 was $214 billion. And 40% of that $214 billion went to remodeling, and 60% went to new construction. But they are saying that expenditures now on home improvements are going up and exceed commercial and public works construction already, and that in the next 10 to 20 years, rehabbing of homes is going to be equal, in other words, 50% of the total figure to new construction. And I think that's coming. And you can see it in houses that are wearing out, and I imagine there are some like that in Santa Barbara, although you did rebuild after the devastating earthquake, so you're newer in some respects than a town like Chevy Chase, which still has houses standing in it that are 100 years old.
True.
But the point is that in some instances, we were talking about this earlier, people want to tear down those houses and mansionize them. But in California, I don't know, with the Jarvis Gann problem that you have there, which encourages remodeling rather than building new because of the tax consequences, maybe this is something that's part of the wave of the future for California.
Well, you did, when you were talking about this adaptive reuse and replacing new construction with remodeling, of course, it immediately went back to our first segment when we talked about, okay, we'll let you remodel, but not enough that maybe, not enough, not what you want to do.
Yeah.
And so there you get back to the same, it's a circular problem.
Well, you can't do everything you want to do all the time. We all learn that. We try to teach our children that.
Well, I was the youngest, so I usually got away with doing everything I wanted. And
yeah, you were spoiled.
Now that I'm approaching 50, I see what you're talking about, adaptive reuse. Things are wearing out on me, too.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some truth to that, and I'm a little older than you are. But my point about Santa Barbara is that you don't have much buildable land. Not much land is available.
Now, you didn't take a ride out towards UCSB outside the city itself, just about 10 miles?
Well, we went up to the north and then worked our way back down south. We went around the coast.
So you took 101 north, the freeway?
No. We went out near the coast. I forget the name of the development. What is it, the hills or something like that out there?
Shadow Hills?
Maybe so.
It's kind of up a little bit up towards the mountain, just a tad. It's up in the foothills?
No, that's not it. But anyway, I'm sorry, I can't remember that. But the point is that you rebuilt after the destruction of the...
The 1925
earthquake. 1925 earthquake. And I spent last week down in New Orleans... And Katrina has laid bare the soft underbelly of urban America. And that soft underbelly has to do with poverty. It has to do with the lack of affordable housing. It has to do with racism. And it has to do with the exclusion of too many people from the opportunities that are here in America. And not coincidentally, it just with 400,000 homes destroyed down there along the Gulf Coast and a couple hundred thousand homes damaged, it says to us there's a real rebuilding challenge in America. And I think that the fundamental point is that America is challenged to handle the growth that's coming, and part of this is going to be answered by rehabbing existing housing and by making for greater densities, as we were talking earlier in the hour.
Now, you mentioned this balance and ratio of new construction, the dollars that go towards new construction versus what you coined adaptive reuse, remodeling, etc. Then you get something like Katrina. It's something that might shift that trend when are they going to rebuild 400,000 homes?
Well, I don't know. They're going to have to rebuild the city. They're going to start with what's on higher ground, and that's some housing and most of the commercial area. But the lower parts farther out, like the lower Ninth Ward, were just 100% demolished and devastated. And that's going to take a long time to come back.
And these were the poorer...
Yeah,
little
right. These
homes.
These were the smaller and the more poverty-stricken areas, with certain exceptions. But the point is, I guess, that they can't do it alone. They need federal government to help them.
Boy, and, it's just a nightmare. I can't even begin to try to understand what's going on.
Well, hundreds of thousands of people left the town. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but tens of thousands of people left town, and they may not come back, and New Orleans is going to be smaller. But the point I was trying to make was that it sort of illustrates in a very graphic way, in a horrifying way, the necessity that America is going to face in this century as stuff that was built in the 20th century wears out. We're going to face the necessity of rebuilding. And the key thing is the resilient spirit that I think lies at the heart of the American psyche. I mean, look at San Francisco rebuilding after its earthquake 100 years ago. Look at Chicago after the fire. Look at Santa Barbara after 1925. You had a headline in the Santa Barbara News Press that said, city to rebuild at once. And that's great. Now, that's not happening in New Orleans. They're going very, very slowly there. There are reasons for that. But the fact of the matter is, unless you want to wipe New Orleans off the face of the earth, as some people say should be done, you're going to have to rebuild the city.
Yeah, it's just such a bizarre... They ended up in such a precarious position, and I was trying to... Are you familiar at all with some of the elements that led... to the fact that New Orleans didn't have the levees, that it didn't put the money in where they wanted to put in?
Yeah, well, you see, that gets into politics and people wanting boondoggles and spending it in other places and gets into poor planning. For example, in Holland, they have some very, what you might call, urban-style locks and levees and so forth. And in New Orleans, it's kind of an agrarian style, mounds of earth rather than steel in some places, and the earth gave way. And it's just something that's been waiting to happen and will probably happen again. And one of the worst mistakes you can make is to rebuild when you know you're vulnerable to having the same kind of natural disaster happen again. I shouldn't be saying that to anybody from California, incidentally.
I was going to say, and yet you're saying all these people want to come to California.
Yeah.
Well, we need a good earthquake to sober them up, keep them out of here. But, yeah, I actually watched a program recently on the National Geographic cable channel where it was discussing and showing Holland's locks and levees. I mean, the ingenious engineering, must be billions of dollars.
Precisely.
Oh, God.
It's a national effort over there. Now, part of the problem with New Orleans is that people have forgotten about it. It's not a New York City, and it didn't have the cataclysmic impact on the American psyche that 9-1-1 did. But New Orleans, except for the number of people who lost their lives, which was much less than in 9-1-1, but New Orleans as a town or as a city was devastated. The whole community is in trouble.
Right, right. You didn't have the death toll, and it didn't have the drama, but certainly the impact is far. It's an unfair. And you know what's even more unfair?
What?
We're out of time.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, you did a good time. You did a good job of filling the time.
It's gone fast when you're having fun.
Bill Hudnut out of Chevy Chase, Maryland, a senior resident fellow at the Urban Land Institute. He was plugging the book Density by Design by the Urban Land Institute. And the other book we didn't get to mention, written by Tom Friedman, called The World is Flat.
Yep.
That's your recommended reading.
That talks about how the world's becoming very small thanks to the internet and technology. And China's our neighbor, India's our neighbor, and they're our competitors. It's not a race to the bottom with them. It's a race to the top.
Well, that's the topic for the next time you come on, Bill. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Mark, I've enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. We'll come back for the fourth and final segment, the weekly multiple listing update and sales update. And maybe I'll have a chance to tell you a little bit more about my visit down towards Yucaipa, Calamasa, Beaumont, Hemet, and Banning, just east of Redlands, California, on your way to Palm Springs. Quite an area. And all the growth that he was talking about, it's all happening right there. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.